Welcome to the Colin Cast.
The people who are crazy enough to think they can change the world are the ones who do.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Colin Cast with your host, Colin Cady.
Hello.
And I'm joined today by Mr. The One, The Only, Michael Allison.
Thank you for having me, Colin.
You're welcome. If you guys, you guys by now are probably just like, just exploding. It's like, Colin, how did you get such a celebrity on this podcast? Michael, you should probably tell everyone why you're such a celebrity.
Oh, the recent basketball. Is that what you're referring to?
I was just saying that as a joke, trying to get you to talk about yourself, but we'll talk about that. But Michael, okay, if you just you just want to give a rundown to everyone, yeah. Like who is Michael Allison?
So Michael Allison is a 20-year-old male, living in Benton, Arkansas.
Okay. It sounds like you're just filling out an HR form.
No. So I'm a Division III college football player.
Mm.
Political science major.
Mm.
And love politics, hence how we know each other.
Mm, exactly. exactly.
That's all people need to know.
Exactly. Enough. Well, they know all your demographic information now. Hopefully, hopefully no one shows up at your door. But
yeah, maybe that was a mistake.
I might have to go in and bleep out the city that you're from. Yeah.
Actually, that's probably a good idea.
Then again, all they'd have to do is just Google you and probably find out. It's
happens. Not hard nowadays.
You're right. But no, recently I've been doing an internship through the My AR internship, as my loyal followers know, at the Arkansas Department of Agriculture. Well, Michael over here was at the Arkansas Department of Education, and we have like this big, broad program going on. So we got to go to all these speakers and everything together. And so that's how I picked Michael. You know, I felt like he was a great guy. Look where we are now, man. You're on my podcast. Yeah. I feel like this is the hey, look, mom, I made it moment.
Completely agree. This is like a dream come true.
Oh, I know. I know this was just your childhood dream. You know, football, no one cares about that. Yeah. But being on this podcast, that's the kind of resume, like opportunity that once in a lifetime.
It is. I mean, I really don't think it's ever going to come around again. So I'm really going to try to sear this into my memory and to live this day over and over.
Exactly. So I guess let's just get right into it. You know, first and foremost, tell them about why you were a celebrity among our intern group. Let's get into that, you know, because okay. This is such a cool opportunity and I think a great lesson for like what the whole philosophy of just you might as well ask because you never know what the answer is kind of situation is.
So like, do you want me to just like tell it as a story? Or?
I mean, hey, you however you want to hop into it.
Okay. I'll tell it as a story because I feel like it's more interesting that way.
Okay.
We got to tour the governor's mansion.
Mm-hmm.
And I had heard from another intern that the governor played basketball.
Mm.
And so I remember I was talking to you and I was like, I want to ask him. I thought it'd be fun to ask him if he'd play me in basketball. And sadly, he kind of had to head out early, whatever, didn't get the chance to talk to him. But then I talked to one of the governor's interns and was like, hey, I was going to ask him this. And he's like, oh, I'll hook you up with this other intern who does scheduling.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, great. I was like halfway kidding, but.
Well.
And then I reached out again to that intern.
Mm-hmm.
And she was like, oh, yeah, I'll hook you up with the, I'll give you their phone number.
Mm.
And then a couple days later, I get a text saying the governor and his group are playing basketball tomorrow at 6:45.
Okay.
And I was like, oh my goodness.
You made it.
Yeah, this is actually happening. So I show up 6:45. I don't know. There's like five cars in the parking lot.
Mm-hmm.
And I go up in the gym and I see this like bodyguard. And I'm like, this is like real.
Mm-hmm.
And I look on the court and there's Governor Hutchinson. and five other state employees and played 3-on-3 with the governor of Arkansas.
Boom. Look at that. You know, very few people can say that, Michael. I think that, I'm serious. I think that that was such a cool thing to be able to do. And really, you never know what you're going to, and you know, all that kind of stuff always starts as a joke. Like, it's always like, you know, like maybe yeah. I should ask for this. And then you never know.
Yeah. No, it started out completely as a joke. And then I just, when I was talking to the governor's interns, they were like, oh yeah, for sure, I'll ask. And I was like,
boom.
Yeah. Definitely a lesson that I never thought I would learn that way, but the power of asking, I guess.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So if you had to liken the governor to a current NBA player, who do you think he would be most, what's his play style most like?
Oh, goodness. I think I would compare him, this isn't an active NBA player, so.
Okay, I guess you can, yeah.
I'd compare him to maybe a Dirk Nowitzki.
Okay, gotcha.
He's got a good, his shot is kind of like over his head like Dirk has.
Okay.
You know.
Uh-huh.
He's a good mid-range shooter, okay. Drives, and he's a playmaker, man.
Really?
He's a playmaker.
Ooh. So you're telling me the governor's got some leadership on and off the court, you
yes.
know? He likes to facilitate.
Yes. He is a facilitator.
Okay.
No, I was thoroughly impressed.
Okay. So, like, what happens if, like, did you feel there was any fear, like, if you steal the ball from the governor, or, like, don't pass it to him enough, or you block, you're just like, is this dude going to get me fired for my internship? Did that, like, cross your mind?
I thought about it a lot beforehand mm-hmm. going in. Luckily, I didn't have to, you know, play defense or anything against him
because okay.
we were on the same team. Excuse me. Seltzer water.
Oh, yeah. Oh, Mr. Bigwig over here drinking that fancy water.
Yes, yes. No, but no, he was very, you know, comfortable and just, he was playing ball. And I feel like I was kind of just feeling out how everyone else was playing.
Okay.
And everyone else was just playing normal. So I just kind of went along with it. And I did try to give him the ball most of the time.
Okay.
But, okay. But yeah.
I see. Because it's, you know, it's one of those deals that, like, yeah, just like in a job interview, you know, you make an impression and you don't want to be known as the, like, the intern who came in and was like the ball hog or the guy who tried so hard that he like hurt everyone.
Right. No, it did feel weird because it was kind of the only time I'd really played basketball where it was like, I was making an impression apart from how I was playing the game. Like mm-hmm. I wanted to be seen as a competent and likable guy. I was like, I want to make an impression on such an important okay. figure. But I think they were very friendly and like made okay. it easy to interact. And yeah, it was not an uncomfortable environment as much as I thought it might be. Like
okay.
it was very just welcoming and very chill. Like I was just one of the guys for the day.
I get you.
Would you ever play basketball if you were given the opportunity with him?
I mean, I think I would. I mean, I don't know why you wouldn't. I mean, not to say that I'm like, you know, for everyone listening, everyone knows, all my fans know that I'm like 6'8", 280
yes.
pounds.
Yes.
But no, I mean, like I've got a very particular play style, and I think it'd translate well. I'm a big floater guy, you know. I love driving in, kicking the ball. I'm basically Steve Nash 2.0, to be honest
yeah.
with you. Great knockdown three. But no, I think that'd be such a fun opportunity. Like, why wouldn't you? I mean,
yeah.
such a great story to tell.
It was a blast. And afterwards, I felt bad for not taking a picture afterwards because everyone was like, "Oh, did you get a picture?" He's like, "Oh, if you didn't get a picture, it didn't happen." And I was like, "Man." Man, I'm not gonna play 3-on-3 with a
exactly.
guy and ask him for a picture afterwards.
You're too cool to be a fanboy, man. I mean,
well, not even that I'm too cool. It's just like I don't, you know.
No, I don't mean it. I don't mean it that way. But you were like, you were there just to have the experience, and you didn't want to like spend the whole time like, oh my god, this is so great. Like, can I get
yeah,
a bunch of photos?
Right. Yeah. I didn't. You're right. I didn't want to be like a fanboy. Yeah.
Mm.
But it was. I tried very hard not to be a fanboy.
Yeah. So here's my question. It was a great experience playing with the governor. So, like, What if there was a president whom you really hated, okay, and they asked you to play basketball?
That's a very interesting question.
Yeah.
That does change things.
What if, like, this is the your least favorite president? You're like, look at all
of them. Is there a president you have in mind right now? Or
yeah.
Is
this William Howard Taft asked you to come?
I'd stay out of the paint.
He'd back you. Oh, I wouldn't want him falling on you. Did you know we have the same birthday? September the 15th, me and William Howard Taft. And you know he was the only president to serve on both the Supreme Court and in the office of the presidency?
I did not know that.
Yeah, he did.
That is really interesting.
He also apparently got stuck in a bathtub. So. Oh,
I think I've heard that story. I don't know why I've heard
See,
that.
See, you hear the bad ones, but never the good ones.
Only the things that matter.
Exactly, because he getting stuck in a bathtub. But no,
That's a good question.
I asked you that because it's like, is basketball really life? Like, are you really about that life? Like,
I think I would.
Yeah.
Even if, just because, you know, playing basketball with somebody is a form of exercise, right?
It is.
So, you know, people are going to maybe hate on you because, oh, I can't believe you interacted with this such horrible president. It's like, I played basketball with them.
Exactly.
Like, I don't know. Do you feel the same way? Like,
yeah.
It is an interesting question, though.
Well, so I guess let's boil it down to an easier one. It's like, so say you're on a championship sports team and there's a president whom you really dislike. This is getting political already. But say there's a president whom you really dislike. Like, do you feel that respect to, like, no matter who's in office, to go there? Or is it more about the stance of saying, well, you know what, I really dislike this person, and because of that, I'm not going to associate myself?
So you're asking if I won a championship and I didn't like a president, would I refuse to go to the White House?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay. You're on LSU's 2019 right. national championship team.
Right.
And you've got Donald Trump has got you McDonald's and Arby's yes. and every other fast food.
I would go just for the McDonald's. No, I'm kidding.
It's like, yeah, that was a great trip. The McDonald's was great. It was like, oh, but didn't you go to the White House? Like, yeah, but it was the McDonald's.
Yeah. I feel like I think I would go,
mm-hmm.
but I would like not, I would understand people that didn't want to go.
Yeah.
Like I respect people that, you know, are wanting to make a statement and are like principled enough to follow through with like foregoing an opportunity such like as going to the White House would just be an insane opportunity. And like, I respect someone that would forego that for a political purpose, but yeah. I just feel like it would be hard for me to pass it up. I don't
gotcha.
Know. Do you?
No, I understand. I mean, like,
it's a tough question.
I mean, even if I have political disagreements, I still feel like I have enough respect for the office. But, like, I'd love to go to inauguration. I don't care if it's Donald Trump, Joe Biden, Justin Bieber. I don't care who it is. Like, I just think that'd be such a cool experience. So in my book, I can put aside whatever political differences I have with someone. Just to enjoy, like, the opportunity.
Yeah. Yeah, because it's really bigger than just, I mean, I guess an inauguration really is just about the president, but it's bigger than just the office, you know?
Yeah.
You're going to the White House. Like, you're going to, in the case of the inauguration, you're going to the Capitol.
Yeah.
It's a public event, you know? It's not just, it's just because you go, like, that doesn't equal, oh, I support or I do not support.
Yeah. No, I understand. I love talking about the White House, I love the White House is the coolest bookmarks, okay? Because there's like, I have this one, and it's like a gold-plated, the window that's right outside of the Oval Office. And so it's really cool. Like, they have the coolest bookmarks at the White House. So if you ever get to tour the White House, you got to buy a bookmark, man.
I'll keep that in mind.
Kind of random.
When did you tour the White House?
When we went... We took on a family trip for my senior trip.
Okay.
We went to D.C. and then rode the Amtrak up to New York.
Yeah.
And cool. So part of that is my mom ahead of time got in congressional tours and the tour of the White House for us. And so got to go.
Very cool.
Go through. Yeah. Yeah.
Jealous.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would. That's good advice because I definitely can see myself doing that one day.
Yeah.
And I would love bookmarks are cool.
Oh,
I don't like have any like good bookmarks.
This is the kind of one you can go to a library and show off and like make people jealous. Yeah. Like, they're pretty cool. I got to give it to them.
So there's the Oval Office one. Do they have any other cool
ones? There was like one that was like of the White House itself. that was like, and they're all metal, so they're really high quality, and they've got like a like a tassel on the top. So oh, that's sick. I mean, they're nice. They're nice. They're like 20 something bucks a piece. Yeah. But
what are you gonna do?
They're more than a book. Like, you spend more on the bookmark than you would on a book.
Right.
Still a great gift. Great thing to have. Can't pass.
I have to keep that. I'll remember that for sure.
Yeah. So, Michael, let's dive in. Let's learn a little bit more about you, because my goal with this podcast, you know, is I think there's something you can learn from every single person. Okay.
That's beautiful.
It really is. Really is. And so I'm just kind of curious, like, what are your end? I just want to let the viewers know who you are. I'd like you to, because I don't know how to phrase this question the best, but how do you paint a picture of, like, your intangible? How do you paint a picture of your soul? That's the question. How do you describe those things?
That's a heavy question. It's a heavy question.
I know.
I'll attempt to give you
hit me.
Some semblance of an answer. So I guess I'll start with my interests.
Okay.
I have very few interests, but I tend to focus on things that I think are valuable and important and could be of use in my career, in my life, what have you.
Okay.
First you have sports.
Sports.
You know, I'm a guy's, you know, all guys like sports, you know.
Okay.
Not all guys, whatever. It's just a stereotype. I guess, I fall into that stereotype. Love sports, love any kind of sport, play any kind of sport.
Okay.
Play, obviously, college football.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, it's a big part of my life. Like, any way you slice it, like practicing, working out, playing games. I love following athletes, and it's like its own like universe, or not universe, but it's its own like sphere.
Mm-hmm.
I could just talk about sports all the time, but politics is something that has kind of been more of a recent development of interest for me.
Okay.
I'm a poli sci major.
Mm-hmm.
And so I kind of just did poli-sci. It's easy.
you're probably not wrong.
It's easy. But B, you know, I have, like, my dad and my brother both have kind of worked in, like, sphere of, like, public policy.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, just from learning from them, it's kind of, like, sparked an interest in me. I think it'd be really cool to, like, work on like real policy, or like real laws.
Mm-hmm. And,
I just think it's really interesting to like to have a career that has such an impact on the public, and like it just like not just doing menial work that like you can't really see the end benefit to it, like very tangible like benefits to people.
Okay,
so that's kind of like why. But that's kind of like the background of why I like interested in politics.
Mm-hmm.
I still don't know if like elected politics is like the thing that I'm. It's just kind of a lot.
I understand.
It's a whole different ball game than bureaucracy and consulting and that whole world. Mm-hmm. But so yeah, sports, politics. I would say I'm trying to give like a more of a picture of myself.
Uh-huh. No, that's what I'm looking for.
This is a hard question.
It is.
Like, have you ever had like have you ever answered questions like this before? It's hard. Like, I feel like I'm on the spot.
Not externally. I think internally I have.
Okay. Maybe I should think about these things more now.
You never know. Maybe that's a blessing and a curse.
Yeah.
But no, the goal of asking this question is just kind of get, like, for you to paint a picture of who you are.
Okay.
Because it's easy to look at, like, the surface level things.
Okay, I can go deeper.
This is quickly turning into, like, therapy.
Yeah. What's really wrong?
That's my fear with this podcast, you know? Because I ask these questions and everything. And it's always, like, I sit here sometimes and I just think to myself, it's like, this feels just like a therapy. Like, I'm not licensed for this. Maybe I shouldn't be asking these questions. But no, I mean, I just, like, I'm just, I don't know, I guess what makes you you? And that's just okay, not like the niggas, but like.
Yeah, I think I would consider myself, I think I'm a social person, but I wouldn't say I'm terribly outgoing. I think I'm like interested in people, but I think I like to think deeper and not just, I don't know what I'm trying to get at here. I don't just try to, you know, have banter and, you know, talk about surface level things. Like, I'm not super talkative just because, you know, I want to like actually get to know you. And so that being said, I feel like I have like, you know, I try to have like not a ridiculous amount of friends, and I try to have like relationships that I invest in, and like,
no, I understand.
I'd rather have like a few friends that I'm like really close with than like, you know, a bunch of friends that like I'm just acquaintances with, I guess.
No, yeah. I understand.
I feel like that was deeper than.
Well, no, I think it's important to have meaningful connections. I mean, I feel that, and I think I'm in a very similar boat. That it's just like, and you can answer this because you've been around me enough, seen the way that I've interacted with other people. Sometimes I feel as if maybe I'm a little bit too far to the other end of the spectrum. You know,
yeah.
That instead of maybe I should I don't want to say chat people up, but acclimate people before I just, because like with the other interns, I'd literally just walk up to them and be like, hey, this is a random question, but like, what do you want to do before you die?
I'd say, Colin, you're probably like one of the more outgoing people that I've ever met.
Well, and it's, I really don't feel all that, like, I really don't feel like that, to be honest with you. Because I wouldn't consider myself like a full extrovert. And I know everyone who like really knows me, who's listening right now, is like,
you an extrovert.
Exactly. It's like, Colin, what the heck are you saying right now? But I feel like there's a lot of times where I literally just like want to shut off everything and just want to be by myself. Maybe that's just disassociation, but I notice myself sometimes like that, that I may appear like super outgoing, well, and I might be at that moment, but it's not like, I'm not like that all the time.
Yeah. I think a lot of people, I think more people are like that than maybe you'd think. Like, I think, you know, everyone needs, or maybe not everyone, but a lot of people, you know, I guess need time to themselves. You know, you can't be always, you know, up and active and, you know, socially, you know, have that, you know, part of your brain active all the time. Like, you kind of need some time to yourself, I guess.
Yeah, of course.
That's what I'm trying to say. So, I wouldn't, but yeah, I would definitely consider you a lot of an extrovert. Just.
Yeah, no, I get it. And it's kind of one of those, you know, let's break the fourth wall here. Let's break the fourth wall here. So while we're recording, make sure you're, make sure when you're talking like right in the center of the mic, because I noticed you were kind of, this is funny, you know, and usually I'd cut this out.
I'm new to this.
Yeah, I know, but I think I'm going to leave this in just because it's kind of cool to have like this perspective of it. Because, you know, with podcasts, everyone makes them so over-polished and produced that I think sometimes it loses like this, like the real elements of what makes podcasts real.
What makes podcasts real? Yeah, I agree. This is not very organized. So, or it is. I don't want you to disrespect
you. Over here. I'm just kidding. No. And my goal is never to be super structured.
I like it.
I just, because
it's real. It's real life.
Exactly. I view these as conversations, not I think crazy. Well, you know, that's interesting. I appreciate it.
This is an NBC, you know, this isn't a, we're not cutting to commercial break here.
Not yet.
Hey, yeah. But,
Maybe
further down the road, yeah.
Maybe, oh, look, we've.
Maybe I'm
new. Glad you said that. We've just got an ad read right here. We've been sponsored by Jim's Tire Shop.
Shout out.
Get your tires at Jim's. If there's a Jim's Tire Shop, if you listen to this, pay me $100 and I'll put this in the next episode. You know, the Colin Cast is always looking for sponsors. But, okay, back to what we were talking about. You know, I agree with you. Maybe I don't know. But it's just, it's kind of one of those when it's you, you have just a weird understanding of, and like an emotional connection to your position where it's easier to tell as a third party, like, yeah, you are pretty extroverted or no, you're not. But like when you're in your own head, it's just kind of, it's tough to differentiate that. And I guess that comes with all self-awareness, kind of figuring out where you are.
So I'm curious.
Hit me.
Have you, is this like, cause I remember the first time, like the first week of our internship, like you started these question of the day things. Is that something that you just started or is that like, the question, I guess I'm asking the question of the day, is that something you've always done?
But no, yeah. So
also just kind of like if you've done similar things.
Yeah. So what Michael's referring to is with these other interns, I'd have like a question of the day that was on my mind that I'd ask everyone. So it's like, if you were to murder someone, what song would you like to murder them to? Or can you truly separate art from the artist? I escaped
that question.
Yeah. Probably a good one to escape. but no, it's maybe I've been more expressive of them. They're questions that I like consider myself. Like I ask these kind of things to myself all the time, but I think I've probably been more here over the past year and especially the past couple of months, more apt to ask others those, like with my really close friends that know me, like I ask these kind of stuff, all the time. But it's just, I think it all comes from watching The Buried Life. I told you about The Buried Life, right?
Oh, yes.
I talk about them like every single podcast episode.
Are they paying you?
Please, that would be a... love that sponsorship.
That's an old thing, though.
Yeah. It's an old show. But like every time they'd go and knock off something off their bucket list, they'd take the time to ask a stranger what they want to do before they die. And I felt like that was such a cool like thing because you get to hear from perspectives that you wouldn't. So like one of the first days of the internship, I knew I had really gone full in on this asking people weird questions, question of the day stuff. When I went to Saltgrass Steakhouse, you know, drove 30 minutes across town just because I had nothing else going on. Sat down at the bar. I was like, wow, I really feel like an adult. Ordered myself a cherry Sprite, and, you know, it was a great cherry Sprite. I had a nice bit of cherryness to it with a lovely maraschino. I don't know how to correctly pronounce that. Maschino.
Sounds good to me.
Whatever. I've never actually looked at what the word is. I've just called them maraschino, and I have no idea if that's correct.
Just say it confidently.
Yeah. I took that maraschino cherry and stuck it right in that drink. And so it got real nice. But ordered me a lovely steak, baked potato, love baked potatoes. But I looked at the bartender and asked her really random. It was like, hey, I've got like a random question for you. Like, what do you want to do before you die? And her response was to go scuba diving and travel outside the country. She'd never left the United States before. And I realized at that moment, I was like, man, I'm pretty deep into this. Like, if I'm just asking random strangers.
It's a moment of realization.
Because it's different if it's like, exactly, interns that I'm around, who like I'm looking to develop a relationship with. Because we're all going to be something someday, and it's nice to make these connections. But like, this is some random stranger who I'm probably never going to see again. I was like, I'm real deep into this.
Yeah. No, I feel though that I'm like, I feel like I'm glad that you did that because I'd never really had someone just like randomly ask me these questions. Like,
maybe that's a good thing. Van
Gogh, yeah, maybe. Was Van Gogh beautifully morbid or? Well, I don't remember.
So yeah.
That question. But
the question
that
was
that one I thought about. I was like,
yeah.
The fact that you even thought of that to me was like crazy.
So the question of it is, Van Gogh when he was in his stay at the mental asylum. I mean, to try to be rehabilitated. He was in a studio one night and it was yellow paint. And took a copious amount of that and mixed turpentine with it to try to liquefy it, emulsify it. And he drank it in an attempt to try to poison himself. So Van Gogh essentially tried to kill himself with color. And the question was, is that beautifully morbid or morbidly beautiful?
Just the craziest.
It is kind of weird
question of all time.
I think about these things when I hear them. And so it's great for me to be able to have other people's perspectives and get it out.
But yeah, that was, so I don't mean to cut you off, but that was kind of my point. Good. My point was like, it is a good way. Just these like random questions, you know, that are kind of fun and, you know, maybe a little morbid sometimes, but
yeah,
just kind of engaging. It's really a good way to like spark a conversation and a connection with people.
You're absolutely right. You know what? You've just given me an idea. Maybe I should, on my Instagram page, post a question of the day every day. So that way, get people thinking about this kind of stuff. Exactly.
You have some good ones too.
I know. Yeah, I've got a list of 100 of them on my phone. it's really funny when I meet someone and I'm like really trying to get to know them, and you kind of get bored of talking about the surface level stuff. I'm like, hey, pick a number 1 through 100, and I've literally got 100 of these like questions just primed up and ready. You never know. You never know when you're going to need a question to ask.
True. And it's really never a bad time to do it.
You're right. There's no time like the present, Michael.
There is no time like, there's no present like time.
Oh, we got to talk about it. Go ahead and then we'll talk about that.
Yeah, so we did this thing where we would flip around these common colloquial, you know, terms. just to have a laugh, you know.
Exactly.
I'm trying to think of what some of them were.
Different folks for different strokes.
Oh gosh, yeah.
What all did we say? You know, the office beat us to "Oh How the Turntables."
Yes, they did.
But one of my favorites. Oh, an early worm gets the bird.
Yes.
One of my favorite is "Let he without stone cast the first sin." What other ones were there? But it's a great way because I could say these and people would not notice that there was like something wrong. Like they wouldn't point anything out.
Yeah, they would just go along with it.
Exactly. It's kind of like, you know, you hear these sayings so much. Yeah,
it's kind of like a litmus test of if someone's really listening to you. Are they really?
Exactly. It's like
just throw that in there. It's like, are you really listening to me?
Yeah.
Are you going to correct this?
Maybe we should start asking people quizzes, like giving them quizzes after talking to them. It's like, so let's see if you paid attention. In what grade did I tell you that I got my first B? it's like, oh, so you really weren't listening, buddy.
I would have too much. I would be too afraid of awkward interactions to do that kind of thing. But hey, maybe, you know,
YOLO.
This whole YOLO thing's like turning the gears, make me more socially outgoing.
So. You're right. Hey, there's no time like the present to be outgoing, man. Time is outgoing. Okay, it's leaving us. So maybe we should be outgoing.
Literally outgoing.
Just like time, our lives are ticking away. Tick, man. Tick, 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 tick.
Deep again.
Before you know it. Is it the hope that kills you?
Is it the hope that kills you?
Yeah. I heard that saying, and I don't know that I particularly like it.
I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't think so. I think hope is what keeps you alive.
Oh, okay. I see.
Yeah. If you've got nothing motivating you, then it's hard to really move forward.
Yeah, but there's no feeling like getting your hopes up for something that you really wanted and not being able to get it. You know, like you put your entire life to get this one opportunity and then you don't get it. Like you've built your hopes up so high that like there's no, like it's so hard to come back from that. So.
Yeah, that's tough. That's a tough situation.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that's just part of life. I think it just comes with just a natural consequence of life. Mm-hmm. It's just,
so
I don't know if I have a philosophical answer, but
so maybe it's the hope that kills you, but you die anyways without having something. it's the hope that kills you, but hope's the only thing keeping you alive.
Yes.
Maybe that's how we should phrase it.
You know?
Exactly. Cause I don't like when people are like, oh, it's the hope that kills you. It's like, what a depressing way to look at life, man.
It is.
I think
without hope though, it constricts you.
Mm-hmm.
Like maybe it does kill you, but without hope, you're just going to stay, you know, the same spot.
I mean, it's why failure is so important to success.
Exactly.
You know, kind of a similar concept. So, what do you want to do as a career, Michael? What do you want your life to be?
I've been asked that question a lot this summer. I think, you know, ultimately, I'd love to be a lawyer.
Mm, okay.
I really have felt that way for a while. And obviously, anytime you talk to a lawyer, they're like, make sure that it's what you want to do.
Mm-hmm.
Because law school is no joke.
No.
And anytime you talk to somebody who's been through law school, they're usually, you know, pretty cautionary about doing it. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I guess I don't really have like a philosophical answer, but
it's not every answer has to be philosophical, yeah. Michael.
It's just something that like I like.
Okay.
You know.
No, I get you.
And I want to pursue it.
Okay.
But in terms of career, I don't know. Anything, I'm kind of good, like, whatever opportunities come.
Okay.
Like, just kind of see where it takes me. I really would love to do some kind of law practice related to government relations.
Okay.
Just because it's just so interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Like, especially, like, companies, you know, dealing with different policies and how it's just, like, it's like such an important world.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. Yeah.
No, I understand. So then on the flip side of that, I'll ask you, so everyone knows, what do you want to do before you die?
Mm.
What are that?
Skydiving, you know.
Okay. The big bucket list answer. Items. I mean, and everyone says that, but I don't know that it's a bad thing that that's what a lot of people want to do.
It seems really, really fun.
Yeah.
So.
Flying like a bird, but instead of being able to fly, you're just crashing right down.
Yeah. Hopefully not.
Yeah, hopefully you pull the parachute string.
I don't know. Do you have a? I don't have like a whole list.
Well, like, no, but is there
having kids? You know, the basic stuff. Having, I'd say like maybe living somewhere different. You know, like going out and kind of figuring out life.
And they don't have to be like big things, but I mean, just things that you want to that you want to do before you die. That if you're sitting on your deathbed, it's like, man, I really wish I would have ran naked through Broadway and Little Rock.
None of that. No, those are. I think those are my genuine answers. Okay. I think like at the end of my life, I want to have been able to said like, okay, I kind of went out, figured life out, had a fulfilling family.
Okay.
I think just like the basic stuff is like, that's really like at the end of the day, like that's really what's going to fulfill you. And I just want to have a fulfilling life.
Okay.
So I think, you know, family's what does that.
No. And I'd agree.
Do you have like bucket list? Do you have like items on your bucket list?
Yeah. I mean, I do want to be a father someday. That's very important to me. But like, I mean, there's things, yeah, but my favorite answer to give is I want to do a TED Talk. That's the one thing. If I don't get to do a TED Talk, I genuinely think my life has been a waste. Like, everyone I know, when they get to know me, they're like, Colin, like, you should do a TED Talk. Like, you'd be so great. I was like, I know, like, please write into them on my behalf and tell them to give it to me. But I that's one thing that I really think would be amazing to do. And because I want it to be the best TED Talk. I'd invite you 100%, Michael. I want it to be the best TED Talk of all time. You know, I'm a firm believer, and there's a book called The Dip by Seth Godin. And in this book, he really advocates for more quitting. We need to quit more as a society, because if we're not invested enough to be the best at something, we shouldn't do it. And so his philosophy with that is, when you take an opportunity, you should go into it knowing that there's going to be a period where you kind of dip off. It's called the dip, because you get this beginner's success and this rise, beginner's luck, as some would call it. And then you hit this little plateau, and that plateau right in there is where most people get stuck or they should quit. But the people who persevere through that dip are the multi-million-dollar businessmen, the successful athletes. Like, you got to be able to push through that. And so in my eyes, like, I want to give the best TED Talk of all time, because I've listened to TED Talks and I can tell in the first minute if it's going to be a good one or not.
Interesting.
And there are so many that I've listened to that have been okay, but there's been probably about five. I can fit them all in about one hand that I've listened to, and I've thought, wow, like that was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Like one, for example, talking about family, fulfilling life. It was a study of happiness. This guy had been involved, and I think he was the third manager of the research. But it was a study that started in the Great Depression, and they had followed both affluent and poor young men through their entire lives to study their happiness, what impacted their happiness.
Gotcha.
And what they found is that the quality of your relationships around the age 50 determined your happiness for the rest of your life.
50? Wow.
Yeah. That's what they found. And throughout your life, I mean, your quality of your relationships does determine it. But specifically around that point is when you start to retire and you start to move into that last stage of life where you really start to settle. And that's what they found is the people who were the most happiest at all ages and specifically around those were those who had high quality relationships and were really invested and were invested in. Hmm. And that's what's important.
That's a good, that's like valuable information to have.
Yeah.
But that's interesting though. I wouldn't have like thought to look at specific relationship quality like at that age.
Yeah.
But I guess I guess just because you're less focused on your career at that point.
I guess maybe. And I think that was just maybe an example that they pulled to illustrate in the long term. Because I think it was kind of a study of happiness on your deathbed. That was like the lens that he was looking at it from, like regrets and that kind of perspective. Yeah. And people who were happiest at the end of their life were those who had great relationships. Okay. But I firmly believe that the most important thing, and I would normally ask people this question, like, what's the most important thing in the world? But it kind of it's kind of no point now that I've given this because I've got another question for you. But it's like, I genuinely think the people in your life are the most important. And that's both for the good and bad. You are who you surround yourself with. Totally. And like,
I'm a big believer in that.
Exactly. Sure. I don't think people understand how important relationships with others are. And, you know, everyone, all the kids listening to this is like, they think marriage, like a romantic partner. But no, and I think this is the way that I look at this. You got a three-tiered system. You got to love yourself, I think, is one of this. Like, the quality of the relationship you have with yourself mm-hmm. really determines your relationships with a romantic partner or just your friends. But you have to have all those. You have to have someone that you're romantically involved with and fulfilled that way. But you also have to have friends that you can just say, hey, man, you just want to go out and do something stupid? Like, you have to have that balance.
Get away, you know?
Exactly.
Like, let loose, have fun.
Exactly. Kind of and so I think that's something that people don't really focus on. But I tell you all that to come back to my point that I'd really like to do a TED Talk.
Sounds like what you would want your TED Talk to be would just be to inspire people mm-hmm. to maybe think differently about relationships with themselves and other people, which I would say definitely I've come to maybe think more about those things mm-hmm. very recently. I think maybe it's obviously something you think about more as you mature, mm-hmm. but especially like in high school and middle school, I feel like growing up, your world is like so small and mm-hmm. everything around you is like so familiar.
Yeah.
So a lot of things just kind of go unnoticed. Mm-hmm. But once you like get out of college or get out of high school and whatever you do, you're on your own essentially. Mm-hmm. You just are forced to learn those lessons and you're confronted with like actually seeking out relationships that will better yourself.
No, I understand.
Yeah. But that's that would be a good topic. For a TED Talk.
No, of course. So let's segue this into the next question. I mean, we talked about your professional career, like your personal life, things you want to do. But what do you want your identity to be 30, 40 years from now as an adult? Like when you've reached peak adulthood, what do you want your identity to be? What kind of person do you want to be?
I remember you asked me this question a couple weeks ago.
I'll give you the rationale why. Because I love it because it's nice to get to know what people want to do professionally and how they want their lives to live. But it's like, what kind of person do you, like, what traits do you want to exhibit at that age? Because everyone, like, I don't know who your role model is or that, but like, if there's someone who kind of exhibits that, like, you know what, I truly want to be like this person when I'm older. Mm-hmm. But it's just kind of, just to get you thinking about what you want your identity to be.
Man, this really does feel like therapy.
Let's unpack that, Michael.
I think I want to be like a fun guy. Like mm-hmm. I want to like be active, not like just physically active, but like I want to be active. Like I don't want to be like a hermit essentially is what I'm trying to get at. Uh-huh. Like, I want to be very engaged, mm-hmm. right? Like community and home, mm-hmm. those kinds of things. Like I want to be someone that, that people want to be around and feel like, you know, is a good person, and like they feel like their relationship with me and hopefully my relationship with them is like a, it's like a mutualistic kind of relationship. So yeah, I'd like to be active and engaging. What else? Does that make sense?
Yeah. No, I understand. It makes sense. If it didn't, I would have stopped you and been like, Michael, what the heck are you talking about?
Yeah, fun. Hopefully I can act as a kind of a, hopefully my life is like something that people can look to and say, they can like follow, not follow me, but like, this just sounds bad.
No, but I get what you're saying.
Hopefully, you know, my, the path that I take will be one that people like say, this is a good way to live life.
Okay.
Like something that, yeah, people can look to as a model, or like, hopefully I can be of help to younger people.
Okay.
You know, that's, I guess that's, yeah, a role model maybe.
Okay. Then who's your role model?
That's a good question. I've actually thought about this for a while, and I feel like it's, for the most part, it's hard for me to think of like a role model. Like, I feel like most people, like, would you say you have like a role model?
Well, I mean, I think intrinsically this answer is setting itself up for, I mean, truly your parents are your true role models, but well, both good and bad. I mean, there's it's no the way to escape answer. That. Exactly. And so I have to always start by saying that like, and if you would have answered, if you would have start off with one of your parents, I would have asked you to pick someone else too.
Because no, I don't want to be that basic.
Exactly. Well, it is so obvious. And so like, I do think my parents, my dad specifically, I think it's my mom, because but it's just like being a male, and I mean, having a male role model, it's kind of easier to make that connection. And there's a lot that I really idolize about my dad that I'd like to exhibit. But I mean, I guess to answer this question, okay, before I get deep into it, I'm going to answer it with the identity question, okay?
Okay.
That I asked you, because I think these two questions are intrinsically, because your role model is who you want to live your life like, and your identity is how you want to live your life.
Right.
And so, are you ready for this one? I want to be crazy, okay? I'm serious.
No.
No. I'm serious.
You crazy?
I want to be crazy. And I don't mean that from the mentally insane perspective, but I mean that from the perspective of someone who's willing to do things differently because they're the right way of doing it, not just because that's the way that everyone expects them to be done or the way that they've always been done. So like the people who come to mind with my role models and what I want my identity to be, I love the story of Dave Chappelle. You know, are you familiar with Dave Chappelle? Leaving the Chappelle Show.
I don't know like all the details, but I know, he goes away.
Yeah, so essentially leaves. It boils down to he walked away from $50 million because, well, the exact reasons Dave's not come out and say, but he kind of lost creative control and it was not his project. Right. And they were backing him into corners he didn't want to be backed in. So he walked away from $50 million. And I remember this. I think it was on Oprah. I cannot remember who it was, but they basically were asking him if he was crazy. And his response was, don't call people crazy because it's dismissive, because you're not understanding from their point of view. And that's something that's always stood out to me. And I love, like, as horrible as a person as Steve Jobs was, I loved that about him as well, that he was an individual who was willing to go against the grain and be called...
He definitely went against the grain.
Exactly, and be called crazy or insane. And there was a lot that Steve did that was not great, that people should not seek to idolize. But he truly understood in his heart what he felt was right and the way he wanted to go. And he had the vision, and he was going to see that vision through no matter who he pissed off or who hated him, but because he knew that it was the way forward.
So, like, as you kind of essentially describing someone who like is you know, not willing to part from their morals, essentially.
Exactly. And that's why I also idolize Pat Tillman. I think he was an individual with such great conviction who was willing to sacrifice his life for this country when he had life made as a star safety in the NFL. I mean, He truly gave up a lifestyle of luxury because in his heart, he felt it was right to go serve his country and stood up for what he believed in.
Yeah. I think I have an answer.
Hit me.
Kanye West.
Oh, okay. Okay. I mean, there's a lot of avenues you can take this one, so that's why I'm intrigued. Exactly.
And I want to take all of them. No.
Maybe not.
I want, you know.
Exactly.
This is, man, his life.
You
is
want all the smoke. You want all the pain.
Yes, all of it. Bring it over. No, I mean, man, his life really is like a movie. Mm-hmm. You know, like,
yeah.
Just the different chapters he's had, it really, like, I feel like no matter what other people say, he's just gonna do Kanye.
Mm.
And obviously I like his music.
Okay.
I'm not like one of those Kanye, you know, gatekeepers. Like,
okay.
I feel like he has kind of a crazed fan base.
A little bit.
I'm not, you know, I don't try to like overhype his music,
mm-hmm.
but he just like does what he feels is right.
Mm-hmm.
And like, if he's not going to release something if he doesn't feel it's ready, even if
you're right.
People are mad like me that he's Donda's, you know.
Yeah.
Still not out.
That's interesting to choose Kanye West.
Although I would never run for president like he did.
That was probably, ironically, that's one of the most surprising yet unsurprising things he's done. It's like, I can't believe he's actually going through this, but it's like, now this sounds about right.
Looking back, it's crazy to think back to it. But at the time, it was like,
yeah.
Oh, yeah, of course he's running for president.
You know, you say this, maybe one day Kanye's going to be on this podcast. That's why he's like, yeah, one of my assistants listened back to your old podcast and heard what you and that kid were saying about me.
No,
I shouldn't have ran for president. Look at me now, president of the United States.
Oh, gosh. No, he's not going to run for president again. That's my take.
Okay.
That's my take. So one and done type of deal. I don't know. I guess Kanye West. But like I said, I don't like have a, I'm not a huge like role model type of guy, I guess.
Maybe you should.
Maybe I should be.
Look into that a little bit more. Because it's important to have people who kind of got you. And maybe that's, I think on both levels, because I think you need mentors and like guidance, but right. I also think you need the overarching kind of vision of other individuals that you aspire to be like. I think that's important, you know, but you,
all right,
but you should never meet
I'll
your,
think about it, Colin.
But you should never meet your role models because they're never going to live up to the,
yeah, I don't think I'll ever meet Kanye. So
yeah, I don't, I, maybe. Michael, if this podcast was bigger, maybe I could pull some strings for you, but, yeah,
I don't know what kind of situation would arise where I'd meet him, but I did play basketball with the governor. So
you're on your way. Next,
crazier things have happened.
Hey, you just need Kanye to come to Arkansas, get him in on the basketball game. You'd be like, hey, Governor Hutchinson, can I like hop in on this?
yeah, that would be a heck of a crossover.
Yeah, it would be.
But that's my next goal, you know.
Okay.
Play basketball with the governor. That's the next crazy thing, you know.
Mm. I get you.
Play basketball with Kanye.
Woo! Man.
Just run down the list.
Now, Kanye would be someone pretty interesting to play basketball.
I'd probably be a little more nervous. I don't know if I'd probably be more nervous to play with him, honestly.
Yeah.
Like, you grew up going to pageants, right?
Yes.
Do you feel like that, like, did you go to pageants a lot?
Yes, my mother dragged me to
I worded that in a weird way. I didn't give the context. You weren't in the pageants.
Oh, I was as a little kid.
You were?
Yeah.
Oh,
I didn't even know
that.
There was a lot of local ones that I did, and then I won Mr. Alma High School, our school.
Oh, my gosh.
So, yeah, I was very decorated.
But, yeah, I was going to ask, like, if you felt like, because I feel like that's just such a, like, unique
uh-huh.
experience. Like, if you felt like that has influenced your life.
Yeah.
How it is, you felt like it is.
How it is, yeah. So I've grown up around females probably a lot more than a lot of males. So people who know me know that I'm not the most overtly masculine. I know what you're saying, but I don't wear like just Nike shorts and an Under Armour shirt all the time. Like, I've just never really felt like that. And part of that was just the way that the expectation my mom had for me to dress and that kind of stuff. But I say that because I've grown up around females. So sometimes I feel like almost an easier way of talking to females than I do other males, because I'm not super into sports. I mean, I can talk to just about anyone, but I feel like it's just sometimes easier for me to talk to people because that's what I've just grown up around.
Exactly.
I mean, and like my dad worked he worked a desk job. And so like my mom has basically been the person I've been with most of the day. Right. And so I've just really been around a lot more females. And so it's kind of, I mean, the pageants have really added to that of being able to, I think, talk to females and connect with them in a way that I think some males probably struggle to. Yeah. Just because, I mean, it is so different. I mean, being a male around your age, like to be able to talk to them, it's just so much different to talk to someone of the opposite sex around your age. And I mean, I've made a lot of friends and people that I know from pageants and whatnot that like I still see around today. You really truly never know. It was very interesting. I've learned a lot from that experience, and I had to do a lot of volunteering and a lot of helping. It's very interesting.
So you're appreciative of that experience?
Yeah, my mom dragged me around, and during Miss Arkansas, I'd take a full week of my summer where I'd literally have to just work all day. There were some trade-offs at the time. But yeah, I mean, I truly have learned a lot. I mean, it's because, and there's certain, I mean, like, so pageants are different depending on what circuit you're in.
Okay. I've been to one pageant, by the way.
Okay,
so
what's that?
I have one experience with pageants.
Okay, and what was that?
It was in Batesville. I don't remember if it was, I don't remember what it was called, but I know it was in Batesville, and it may have been like Miss Batesville or something like that.
Gotcha.
But my cousin. cousin was in
the
pageant.
Look at you, supportive cousin.
Yeah.
But, I mean, they're different. Yeah. So they're different, like, for each circuit, because some, like, the Miss Arkansas Fair, I mean, they're all different. But, I mean, and they all have their benefits. But what I love at the end of the day is it's about, like, it's empowering women to kind of be confident in who they are and be able to win scholarship money. Like, pageants get a bad rap, to be honest with you, like, that they're all just, they're beauty pageants, quote-unquote. I mean, a lot of these pageants you have to interview for. And, I mean, there's certain circuits I think that critique is more fitting for than others. Mm. Like, you have to do an interview. Some of these, you have to have a talent. Like, you have to be a well-rounded individual who is not only articulate and competent, but also talented and graceful and very presentable. So it's kind of one of those that I think there's a lot of skills that transfer well for women who do it. And it's been great to grow up around those, because I think programs like that attract a high level of women and a certain kind of self-confident who wants to be the best and is competitive. I've made a lot of friends and a lot of connections from that. So
I feel like when did like pageants, or like, do you know the origin of pageants?
They've been going on forever, but essentially they started as swimsuit competitions in like the 1910s, 1920s.
Okay.
So I believe that's how the Miss America organization started. Yeah.
It's like 100 years.
Yeah, exactly. Hmm. You think about, I mean, you think World War II was only, what, 80 years ago?
Yeah.
Civil rights movement was 60 years ago. The Cold War ended 30 years ago.
That's really weird to say. I guess it has been.
I mean, 1991 was when the Soviet Union fell, I do believe. So think about this. We were born in 2000. Like, the Soviet Union fell 9 years before we were born. And you hear about this Cold War, it's like, oh, the Cold War back in the old days. I mean, a lot of it did occur. The 1960s, Vietnam, 50s with Korea. So it was a long time ago. I mean, Reagan in the 80s. But, like, yeah, genuinely, I mean, the Cold War
is
not,
I feel like,
far removed.
Things that are before you're born, you think of them as a long time ago.
Yeah.
But then once you get older, you realize, like, it wasn't.
Yeah, no.
Like, it's bizarre. But anyway, I just kind of wanted, I was curious the origin of pageants, because I feel like they're so, like, people know about pageants, but I feel like they're so, they're just not really like a mainstream thing. or as I know, like Miss America is a big deal.
Yeah.
All those, but at least for my, like at least people that I've, my communities, mm-hmm. it's not like a, it's not a main topic. And I just feel like it's really interesting cultural event. Like yeah. it just seems like a very, I don't know, like a very interesting display of like competition.
Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, it's different. And I mean, I think it affords an opportunity to females that's actually not afforded to males. It's like, it's a great way to win scholarships and to meet other people right around your age. But you also get this immediate platform upon winning. Mm. I mean, because when you have a crown and a sash, I mean, little kids are just like, wow, yeah. and are just blown away. And so you get this immediate platform that I really don't think there's a male counterpart for.
Yeah. I mean, like obviously sports are big, but like, it's really not the yeah. same. It's just purely like physical
yeah.
ability. But I like kind of what you say, kind of having like little kids like look up to them and mm-hmm. having a platform. I feel like that kind of translates to sports. Like I feel like
yeah.
obviously in the South, high school football, like all the kids are like, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
They're so cool.
So yeah, I mean, and you as a football player, what's it like going through that? And I mean, you, I don't mean this too bad. You were not a top 50 recruit with Alabama knocking on your door every day. But what's it like to
be where it hurts?
But what's it like to kind of go through that recruiting process and like trying to select a college?
Yeah.
And
it's a good question. It's it was definitely for me, and I'm fortunate that like my family helped a lot too.
Mm-hmm.
It's definitely a lot more of effort, like on my part, you know. There's obviously a number of guys who have a lot of talent and just naturally attract a lot of attention, which is great. You know, I felt like I had to go to a lot of camps and like okay. put myself out there a lot, essentially.
Okay.
And hope that, you know, someone would notice, and that happened.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a lot of work, you know, extra legwork.
Uh huh. Did you send out like your, were you one of those kids who sent out your huddle highlights to coaches?
Not really.
Okay.
I just kind of, I would go to different camps, and then there I would try and connect with coaches. But I tried not to be too annoying and just like
gotcha.
Tag a bunch of coaches and all that kind of thing. It gets pretty annoying with some of the high school.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, I was looking at the record book, and I saw it, Benton, your senior year, you scored 8,000 touchdowns in a year.
Oh, is that
yeah.
true?
Yeah, 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 yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, you scored 8,000 touchdowns in 1 year.
Yes, that I did score 8,000 touchdowns. No, I believe I scored 10 touchdowns my senior year.
Oh, okay.
So, a little bit.
That's 60 little bit points. Less,
a little bit less than 8,000.
Yeah.
But that's funny. So that was on their website?
I was just joking with you.
Dang, I was really hoping that would... really hoping I
8,000 touchdowns is quite a lot.
I was hoping that I'd keep that record for a while.
That's probably... 8,000 touchdowns is probably near, like, the amount of touchdowns scored across all high school football in a year.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't want to do that math right now, but...
that'd be a weird one to calculate.
Yeah. 8,000. Not quite.
Yeah. But I always find that, you know, I find that interesting because it's like they got to want you, but you have to want them.
Yeah. No, you have to put yourself out there,
mm-hmm.
Especially if you're not one of the top recruits. You have to put yourself out there a lot because, I mean, these coaches, like, they only have so much time in the day.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, you have to really make yourself visible to them. And I think I got like cold emailed by Wash U.
Okay.
I don't know. I don't actually remember where they saw my tape or
gotcha.
Maybe they saw me at a camp or something.
I did see you had a 24/7 profile. So that's how you know you made it. I mean,
I did. Yeah. That was pretty cool. I felt like, pretty awkward with being with all the like three and four stars.
Yeah.
And I wasn't.
I wish
but I had a profile, so I mean, I was a recruit, you could say.
Yeah. I wish they did like 2 and 1 star recruits. Like they published that yeah. stuff. Because I think that'd be cool. Like, we get a full listing of, like, every high school player's ranking, yeah. You know?
It is crazy, though. There's just, it's an industry.
Yeah.
Like, the college football recruiting and the high school football pipeline is just, it's crazy. It never stops.
No, you're absolutely right. I mean, I find myself sometimes looking at the Razorbacks, kind of becoming obsessed with that. I'm like, well, who have we offered? Let's see if there's any interest. Yeah,
it's fun to look at. I mean, I feel like they always, like, try and, you know, make your the recruiting and the front mm-hmm. office always wants to put your team in a great light. So it's always, oh, sunshine and rainbows. We're going to be so good next year.
Okay.
But I think recruiting-wise, Arkansas is doing pretty well.
Yeah. I think so.
I don't know if you've kept up with that.
Yeah. I mean, we're trying, you know. It'd really suck if Texas and Oklahoma join the SEC. We make a mega conference. Yeah.
That's been crazy to keep up with. Like, I don't even know what's going to happen.
And I've heard rumors that, like, the SEC, I guess when we're recording this is when this is all kind of starting to develop.
Right.
But it's like, it's crazy to. That apparently the SEC has been reaching out to, like, Michigan and Ohio State and everything. So it's like, but this is you remember the European Super League that they were trying to do? Mm-hmm. Like, this is that all over again.
4 or 5 years ago or something?
No, this was like a month or two ago, 2-3 months ago.
I don't think I heard about this then.
Yeah, so it was all the big profit European team. Because, you know, like, France has, like, there's a Premier League in England, mm-hmm. and then I can't remember what all of them are. But, like, each country kind of has, like, a top league. Well, so this league is basically all of the best, not really even best, just, like, the most profitable teams.
Right.
All in one league, so they can, like, even further boost their margins. And everyone shot it down because it basically ruins the sport.
Yeah.
And I think that's kind of where we're headed at if this kind of stuff is actually true.
Because, well, I mean, if Oklahoma and Texas are gone, then the Big 12 is just going to have to merge with, I mean, there's just going to be super conferences. And it's like, you had the Power 5, but now it's going to be like the Power 3 or something. Yeah. I don't know.
All the Big 12 teams are going to have to go to the Pac-12, make that the Pac-20 or whatever.
Yeah. It's crazy. I mean, it makes sense, but I don't know if it's going to be as fun to watch.
I don't know that it will be either. They're ruining the sport right before our eyes. When's Wash U going to get in there on joining the SEC?
We're making our way.
You never know. At this rate, you truly never know if these stories are developing like they're supposed to. But now, what else, Michael? What else is there to talk about mm-hmm. as we're entering the final stretch of the podcast? You know, we've learned a lot about you. I think that's always the goal.
I got to say, I didn't expect to be so, introspective in this podcast, but
you never know.
I think it's been, it's helped me.
Okay.
It's therapeutic, you know.
Oh, yes, it is. Yes, it is. So what's the best piece of advice or the best lesson that you've received?
I think the best piece of advice would be not necessarily, a beautiful phrase or mm-hmm. like a proverb, but having self-confidence, which I'm sure you've learned growing up in pageants.
Mm. Yeah.
You got to be, being on a stage, you got to have self-confidence.
Uh-huh.
And any like performer in any capacity knows mm-hmm. that. But you gotta have confidence. You can't doubt yourself. If you doubt yourself, then that's when everyone else doubts you. Mm-hmm. And you can really do more than you think you can.
Yeah.
There you go.
You can't have the yips when you're streaking for the touchdown.
I think that I've kind of learned that lesson through sports.
Uh-huh.
That's like a pretty obvious thing, especially in like baseball. Mm-hmm. I grew up playing baseball as well.
Okay.
But you got to have confidence. It's the mindset really affects your physical performance.
Yeah.
But that translates to life.
Okay. No, I agree. What position you play in baseball?
I grew up pitching, and then I was also an outfielder.
Okay, gotcha.
So I was like two. I don't know if I was good enough to play infield.
Okay.
I'll say that.
Hey, it happens. But
put
I
me
see,
in right field.
Well. I did see where you ran a 4.88 on your 40.
Oh yeah.
Pretty good.
Yeah, it's not my proudest stat.
Yeah, it's not bad.
Yeah. I'm not much of a like speedster. I'm not a not a Tyreek Hill kind of guy.
Yeah.
Say that.
Tyreek Hill can't catch the ball. I had him on my fantasy team like his first big year, and I'd get so pissed off because I'd be watching him and I'd be like, oh my God, I'm about to score a ton of points. He's like wide open for the touchdown. And then he just dropped the ball and I'm like, are you kidding me? Like, are you literally? And he was much better. He's been much better since.
He had a good year this year.
But that, I guess that was 3 years ago or something. I don't know if he was just right out of college or that was just his first year really playing. But he dropped those. And I are you kidding me, Tyreek? You really going to, he's going to lose me my match this week.
Too fast for his own good.
Exactly. That guy. Tyreek, if you're listening, I love you, man. Yeah, I usually still get you on my fantasy team, but let's admit that 1 year you were dropping a lot of balls, man.
I shout out to Tyreek Hill. I'm a fan.
Okay, you're coming in here.
I'm kidding.
This is the good cop, bad cop.
Yes. No. 488. 488 40. It's all online.
Yeah.
The receipts are online. The audience can verify that.
They're really good.
See, you did your research.
I did. Well, and I was looking, and you did a good job. You don't have a big online footprint that I could find.
Is that a good thing?
Well, I could find, like, your Huddle highlights and stuff. But I always love going because you can somehow manage to find, like, someone's third-grade art project or something. And so you've got something really funny to ask about. But I couldn't really find a whole lot. I mean, I could have went on your mom's Facebook and, like, deep dived and found
something.
You'd have
had to scroll way down for that.
Yeah, but
she's big on Facebook.
Yeah.
I don't know if I should say that. People are going to, whatever. Let the people do it.
They'll be like, oh, this Michael guy's cool. Let me add his mom on Facebook. I'm interested in keeping up with him.
Gosh.
You never know. You never know what we're going to talk about.
I think, maybe I should have prepared more questions, but I was really curious about the pageant thing. That was really the main thing.
Okay.
Just because... Yeah, I feel like it's so, like, I imagine there's not many other guys that do it.
Probably not, no.
Like, do you know?
No.
Yeah.
But I mean, I think it was a great opportunity. I truly have learned a lot, and I think it has helped me become the person. But I think a lot of that comes from just my mom's volunteering. Like, she's been involved in so many things that I've been involved with, so it's kind of just been passed along to me.
Yeah.
You never know.
Yeah. I play tennis because of my mom, so.
Hey! Don't disrespect tennis, man.
Fall from the tree, I guess.
But. You're absolutely right. Okay. Anything else? Any final imparting thoughts or questions or words of wisdom or
final thoughts?
Random things you saw on Facebook this week?
Final thoughts.
Like Jerry
Springer.
Bobby
Portis.
Oh.
On the Milwaukee Bucks.
Okay.
He's the GOAT.
Wow. I don't
Arkansas.
Okay,
Arkansas
maybe yeah products. Yeah yeah. Okay, maybe Arkansas GOAT.
No, he's the GOAT, man.
He's the greatest of all time. You're telling me he's better than Brian Scalabrine?
Oh gosh, you're bringing him into this?
Hey, you said the GOAT. You just got to have you can't have that conversation that I'm Brian Scalabrine.
Anyway. I won't get into that, but I will say shout out Bobby Portis. Yeah, he's the man.
Yes, sir. Let's go Arkansas, man.
I know. He made the state proud.
Okay.
That's it. That's all I have. Shout out, Colin, for having me on.
Oh, yeah. I've appreciated you having on here. It was fun. You know, I've enjoyed getting to know you this summer, going to all these intern events, had to have somebody to talk to.
Yeah.
So look at us now, man. Who would have guessed it? Who would have guessed it?
I would not have come in being a podcast at the end of the summer.
The most popular podcast in... The River Valley. That's probably not even the most popular. The most popular podcast where we're currently recording in this room.
Yes. That's safe to say.
Yes, it is. But no, it's been nice having you on here, talking to you. I really appreciate it. It was a lot.
Thank you for exploring, you know, my inner self. And
yeah, hey, there's never a better time to do that than on a podcast. Let's just get right into the deep stuff. YOLO. Well, okay. Sounds good. Well, thank you all so much for listening. We really appreciate it. It means a lot to have Michael on this episode. And as always, you guys know how to support the channel. You can leave us 5 stars, leave us a written review. I'm still waiting to see some good ones. I put one on there, and then I went on my mom's phone and put one on there, went one on my dad's phone and put one on there. So I'm hoping for some outsiders. Yes. But I think we've got I don't even remember, 5-star reviews. So we're bumping up in the world. You guys know, don't forget to subscribe if you're listening on Apple Music, and follow on Spotify, or maybe I got those backwards, but to be notified when we post. And you guys know the best way to really support us is to tell your friends, you know, tell your friends about the Colin Cast.
I'll be telling my friends, so you guys do the same.
Let me tell you. Any loyal fans out there, you know, if you post us on your story and tag me, I'll always repost it. And so I really do appreciate everyone who supports the podcast and what we're doing here. So yeah, perfect. I seriously, again, Michael, I really appreciate it. And I guess we'll catch you all on the next one.